popular event is Saturday, December 1st, 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. at the former Rapids True Value Building, 940 Huntington Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. And with that, we'll wrap up part one of today's edition of The Morning Magazine. The Morning Magazine, as always, is brought to you by Riverview Medical Center. With you, it's personal and comfort air. Coming up next, financial insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry.
Hi, this is Kerry Hildebrandt from Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. Are you running out of hot water? Are you the last one to use the shower in the morning? Have the experts at Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing install a new on-demand water heater and never take a cold shower again. Comfort Air Plumbing can help you with all your plumbing needs. Leaky pipes, new sink, new shower, new bathroom, no problem. Call Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing today, 325-3969 or online at comfortair.biz. Comfort Air, your plumbing experts.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
As we go into the afternoon, we could still see a few snow showers around with mostly cloudy skies, northwest winds at 15 to 30, with our temperatures steady in the upper 20s to near 30. Tonight, we could see a few flurries through the evening as skies will become partly cloudy, northwest winds diminishing to 5 to 15, and our lows falling into the middle teens. And then on Saturday, we'll see our winds turn to the southwest 5 to 10 with partly cloudy skies. Highs will be back into the middle 30s. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Greg Tatrow.
It's cold, it's windy, and the wind chill's like in the single digits, so bundle up. Cloudy and windy, 26 in Wausau, 24 in Marshfield, let's see, it's 24 in Point, and here in Wisconsin Rapids, we have cloudy skies, winds gusting out of the northwest to 26 miles an hour and 26 degrees at AM 1320.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Riverview Hospital in Wisconsin Rapids. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thank you, Jerry, and it's time once again for another edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. You can find your local investment professionals by calling 715-422-0700, 422-0700. And they're located in a really cool-looking small office building right behind the post office if you're looking for the location. But 422-0700, and with that, we welcome back to the microphone Pete Bry and our topic for today, asset allocation. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I had a wonderful holiday yesterday.
Well, kind of a good time of year. You got family and you got
food.
Extravaganza of sports.
That's right. And food, football, and fun. Family.
With weather like this, to stay home and eat the remnants of yesterday and watch some games and bond. It's a special time.
It is. It's a very special time. Of course, this is also a time of year when people are thinking money and budgets, and maybe, and for the investors out there, they're maybe reviewing their portfolio and thinking, okay, what kind of a strategy do I need to take into the new year? And so you wanted to talk about asset allocation.
Yeah, I think that we've talked almost the entire year about different components and different options and what's going on and things like that. But, you know, when you step back and you look at the studies that have been done on return and what constitutes return, 90% of your return is decided by your asset allocation.
Okay.
And so being in the right things at the right time obviously enhances return, and the corollary would be not being in the right things depresses your return. And so everybody kind of gets excited about what particular vehicles are in and things like that and things, but it's the development of the entire portfolio that really constitutes a great deal of what kind of return the investor gets.
Okay, which is why they first off should be calling 422-0700, but also dealing with a professional like yourself. When people come to you and they go, okay, Pete, am I doing the right things, or what are some of the questions I guess people need to ask or look at when making some decisions on where they're putting their money?
Well, you know, I think the way I've managed money for over 30 years is that the question is, where, what are your goals? And so as it looks at financial situations, I mean, are you going to pay for kids' education?
Okay.
Right? What type of retirement is it, do you envision, you know? And so those are two of the really major items that, you know, a lot of this investing should be focused at. So, you know, by breaking down those big financial obligations, and I guess you could throw in, you know, your thoughts on carrying debt into retirement, and how do you reduce debt, or what's your view of that? And so those are kind of the broader issues. And then from there, you can break it down in a lot of different ways. I think that, you know, you look at an individual, and age is a very important component. For example, let's look at a 20-some out of college, up to 30, just getting his their feet on the ground and things in their retirement accounts, and what, if any, outside investing they're doing, mm-hmm. Because that money is geared to be there when, or need to be there when they're in their 60s or 70s, as retirement age continues to get a little older for a lot of people, they can afford to be much more growth oriented, all right? Because, okay, you know, in a retirement account, they can't get at it anyway. They can't, there's no income that, and so historically, equity returns more, stocks,
right,
returns more than bonds. And now where interest rates are, that's certainly the case as we look into the future. Whereas, and this has been one of our topics all year, is in the seniors, the retired,
right,
people, you know, they are not working. They're on, you know, fixed income for the most part, between Social Security or pension or things like that. And so there is a situation where being 100% in the market with the volatility of the markets does not make any sense whatsoever, because in their need to have income, and especially now, you know, we've used the example talking to people all year, and I think I've mentioned it on the show, that, you know, if you do a little math, in 2007, if a retired person, for example, had $500,000 in fixed income, let's say CDs, in 2007, you still could get about 5% on average, all right?
Right.
So that's $25,000 a year. Now, if you have that much money kind of in a balanced or laddered portfolio, you might be lucky to get $1,250, $2,000. So, you know, all of a sudden, $23,000 in income vanished. It did a Houdini and disappeared.
Right.
And so the point is that having 100% in the market means that if you're trying to play that game of growing with it and taking the risk, it's, you know, it's great in up markets, but, you know, if you had 100% in your portfolio when you were starting in mid 2008, which basically saw the S&P go down almost 40%, and you had property taxes to pay at the end of the year, and you had Christmas gifts, and you had all those expenses, it would have forced them to sell at what now looks like a low that may be there for a generation, we hope.
yeah, I mean, that's what we're hoping. What about, we mentioned the two extremes, what about folks in that middle, when they're in the, you know, late 40s toward mid to upper 50s, how does it change for those folks?
Well, it changes in a little more. I mean, a very simplistic rule is, and again, there's always a lot of variations, but if you take the number 100 and you minus, take away your age,
right,
That gives you kind of a guideline of probably how much you should have in the equity market. So if you're 80, you probably should, you know, the guideline says 20. If you're in 30 to 40 or 40 to 50, you know, you should have, you know, anywhere from 50 to 70% in the market as a guideline, all right?
Okay.
But, you know, part of it is, you know, in a situation, that's where you start really having to sit down and get in the particulars, because if you're a professional in the, say, a lawyer, a doctor, you know, head executive at a manufacturing or corporation, and you are having six-figure, seven-figure type income,
right?
You want to probably be a little more defensive because you can afford to be. I mean, what you want to do is with that kind of income stream is make good decisions and let the time value of money, like compounding and those type of things, work for you. And, you know, there's nothing more tragic, as you might know, being as big a sports fan as you are, is that how many of these athletes that just make unbelievable amount of money and have a short time span. You know, it's a very rare in any sport.
Right.
Anybody plays for 20 years. And so those type of high income, preserving it and putting it, having it there when you're going to need it, leads to a little more conservative. Whereas if you're in a situation where you know, you're not a high six-figure type income person, I mean, you've got to really grind it out. And with the lack of, you know, in our particular area, everyone was subject to the defined benefit program, so that, you know, if you stayed with the mills
right.
for a period of time,
they had that pension.
They had that monthly salary, and you know, they were guaranteed it was going to be there, and so that was a very big part of their retirement planning. Now, with fewer and fewer companies having that, you know, there's probably a greater need for income producers of maybe less than six figures to have a more growth oriented, to be able to really fit their needs, and so you know, it's hard to put it in a, you know, you can't really stereotype it.
It's an individual thing.
But yeah, there's basic determinants, such as, you know, we talked a little bit about age, we talked about risk tolerance, we talked about the potential income needs, you know, what are the retirement goals. It's a much different retirement is if you're going to have a nice little cottage or a nice little place,
right,
and you've got all your bills paid and things, versus, well, you want to have your existing home here, you want to be able to go to Florida or Arizona,
right,
you're going to buy a place there, and you want to be a member at a golf course at both places, and you got cars at both places.
Yeah.
And things.
Yeah, that really.
Correct. And, you know, everyone's entitled to their goals, and we try to meet them. But again, in that second case, the overhead is much, much greater, and the outflow continues, and then you have more things subject to inflation and things. So that's why it's very important that, you know, you're kind of positioned correctly as it pertains to trying to achieve your goals. And, you know, so when you take that approach and the asset allocation approach, somehow, do you buy IBM or do you buy Hewlett Packard? Do you buy Merck or do you buy, you know, those, a lot of those, do you buy an ETF or do you buy a mutual fund? Tends not to be quite as a big a decision as, you know, how much do I want in growth? Then how do I do that? How much do I need in fairly solid, safe, you know, how much do I need so that in an emergency medical situation, a layoff situation, that I've got money set aside so that I'm not having to liquidate and take the risk of having to sell, investments at inopportune times.
And so, I mean, you got to know what questions to ask. That's another way of looking at it. And, yeah. and we're going to take our loan break this segment. When we come back, I want to talk about that that term that you use, risk tolerance, how people can determine that, or how you as a professional determines a person's risk tolerance. You're listening to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Their phone number is 715-422-0700. 422-0700. Back with more right after this.
Hi, this is Kerry Hildebrandt from Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. Are you running out of hot water? Are you the last one to use the shower in the morning? Have the experts at Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing install a new on-demand water heater and never take a cold shower again. Comfort Air Plumbing can help you with all your plumbing needs. Leaky pipes, new sink, new shower, new bathroom? No problem. Call Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing today, 325-3969 or online at comfortair.biz. Comfort Air, your plumbing expert.
Are you okay?
I'm okay, Mommy, but what happened?
We slid off the road and into a ditch.
What are we going to do? Who's going to help us in the snowstorm?
Don't worry, honey. We have our winter emergency supply kit. We have what we need until help arrives.
Make sure you and your family are safe on the road this winter. An emergency kit with food, water, blankets, and other essentials could save your life. Visit readywisconsin.wi.gov for more information.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Eye Weather Center.
As we go into the afternoon, we could still see a few snow showers around with mostly cloudy skies, northwest winds at 15 to 30. With our temperatures steady in the upper 20s to near 30. Tonight, we could see a few flurries through the evening as skies will become partly cloudy, northwest winds diminishing to 5 to 15, and our lows falling into the middle teens. And then on Saturday, we'll see our winds turn to the southwest 5 to 10 with partly cloudy skies. Highs will be back into the middle 30s. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro.
Cloudy and a windy 26 at AM 1320. Welcome back to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Again, the number to call to talk to your local investment professionals, 715-422-0700. 422-0700. Our topic today is asset allocation. And Pete, you mentioned going into the break one term, risk tolerance. And sometimes people think, oh, wow, I'm super aggressive. And then you take, I one time took a little financial test about my risk tolerance, and I found out that I'm fairly conservative in a lot of things. And it looked like at your overall views on a whole lot of things, and that said, no. Carl, you are about as conservative as anybody we've ever seen. So how do you go about as a, when you're dealing with a client and they're saying, well, Pete, I want to be aggressive. Do you say, okay, let's slow down and just take a look at it?
Yeah, it's funny that over the history of being in this business that how many people come in and say, you know, and you do this kind of quiz of what they're at and where they're thinking and all that. And, you know, so many people go, well, I want to make as much money as possible, you know, and you know, which obviously is not an unusual goal, but what I've tried to do and Buena Vista tries to do is use some concrete examples, you know, because of the volatility. I mean, one of the things you do is, all right, you give me $100,000 and you want to be super aggressive, all right, that's telling me you want to have a lot of growth. So if after 3 months your $100,000 becomes $80,000, what's your reaction? You know, are you comfortable with that? Aren't you comfortable with? And try to feel them out on a really definitive basis, because, you know, when you talk in generalities, it's much different. But if I said to you, Carl, all right, market crashes, you got 100 and you got 80, you know, what are you feeling? Are you feeling the need to sell? Are you feeling panicked? Are you feeling, oh, my God, I'll never retire? You know, that's a much different reaction than, you know, I'm 30, 35, I've got 30 years before I need that money. The market goes up, the market goes down, you know, mm-hmm. and try to get them to discuss their feelings and what they would anticipate, and you know, where's, you know, all right, what if it was 70, what if it was 60, you know, and,
right,
and where do they cry uncle type of thing. And
you gotta look at it like a business person in many ways would look at a running a business. You know, if I'm making a profit one month, hey, that's great, but I gotta get through the bad times as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what we try to do, and we talk about asset allocation, is that if you look at really any chart of the stock market, and you can take small cap index or the large cap index, the Dow, the S&P, whatever, and you look and you go back into history, what you'll see is that line starts in the bottom left-hand corner, and with a bunch of zigzags up and down and all around, it goes up to the top right hand. And
right.
So by showing that, you will see that there was periods of time, actually, you know, we've lived in one the last decade, you know, the 30s and basically the last decade, say 2000 to 2010, no one's really made any money if you were totally invested in the S&P 500. So, I mean, there are periods of time where, whoa, and things. But otherwise, you can see that the trend goes higher and almost without exception. And, you know, I go back to, I was, you know, five, six years in the business in 1987, and it dropped 550 points in a day, which at that point was 22.5%. And you can... There's a bunch of these that go on. You know, if you look in 2008, which hopefully for all of us is the Armageddon year that, you know, we were not only worried about losing money in the market, we were also worried about is our money in savings and money markets going
right.
to be safe. And so
we were looking at another Great Depression, we were thinking.
Correct. And the point is... in October of 2007, the market peaked out at 13, 14,000 in the Dow, somewhere in there, and the S&P in that kind of same range. By March of 2009, it went down to 6,500, and it kind of bottomed out there, 650 on the S&P. Well, now it's back in, you know, the 13,000 range, 1380 range or something on the S&P. The point being is that for those people who panicked and sold, and because they had a long time, you know, even though they had a long term scenario, they not only didn't catch this rebound, didn't regain that wealth, they're sitting in the money market at 0%.
Is that the biggest mistake you see people make? They panicked too quickly? Talk about some of the mistakes you think people make in this area of asset allocation.
Yeah, I think that it's quite interesting that my view on this, and we'll get to the second question, but the... if people had a place where every day the value of your house was on printed, or the value of any real estate for that matter was printed, like the stock market quotes are, you would see a lot of things going on, because the basic emotion, and this is the hardest thing for people to do, but... most people get it wrong, all right?
Okay.
And that is, people sell when their values are down because they don't want to lose any more money, all right?
Right.
The panic, the emotion, the emotional highs of making money are not as intense, I think, is the emotional lows of losing money. And so people are quite, oh, I don't want to lose money. I can't look at my statement. You know, they go into some kind of denial thing. And, you know, it's not, one of my signals to start buying is I get a knot in my stomach that, you know, you don't know if you're going to throw up or not. But,
okay.
You know, but that means, you know, the intensity, that to me, it's always been an indicator things are getting close to being done, and you kind of hold your nose a little and make sure you're in quality companies with balance sheets and or quality funds that aren't throwing, you know, aren't aggressively in things that have short-term durations and things. But far and away, that's the number one mistake that people make, is that they say they're long term until the first time that, oh my God, I'm down, what's going on? And that's kind of as big a responsibility in our position, is to be able to hold hands and to get people through those emotional roller coasters. And you know, one of the things we talked about this year is that between 2000 and 2002 and between 2007 and the bottom in 2009 and then in 2011, we had 20%. There's been a lot of volatility. There's been a lot of, I think there's a stock market fatigue of, oh my God, I can't ride this roller coaster anymore. And
so they go to the sidelines.
Yes. And in the past, the sidelines have been giving you a modest return. I mean, as we stated earlier, mm-hmm. you get 4-5%, 6-7%, maybe in corporates in the mid 2000s, mm-hmm. you could do. Well, now, with Treasury, CDs, corporates all anywhere from 0% to maybe 3% over in a 5 to 7 year period of time, you're not really rewarded for there. You know, if you look at today, the overall market's up almost 1%. Well, 1% in a day versus 3% in a year for 5 years. You know, so one of the things the Fed is doing by buying all this and forcing and keeping rates down is forcing people to look at the market and get them back into the market as an alternative. And when you look at things that give you a yield and have growth potential, and the market, at least over the next 5 years, is probably a better place to be than in fixed income.
And I guess the bottom line is this: when you're at that point where you're having that knot in your stomach, or if you're taking a hit, that's when you need to maybe look at, okay, what are the new opportunities out there? Instead of, get me out of here, more like, okay, it's down. What's going to be the new opportunity for growth?
Absolutely. I mean, there's always, Warren Buffett, who obviously I would guess most of our listeners have heard of, one of the great investors in our time, said, you know, when there's blood in the street is the time to be invested. And, you know, and it usually, and that's why on a personal basis with my clients, you know, the majority of my companies are Dow or Fortune 500 type companies, because they're going to be here, right?
Right.
You know, Kimberly Clark, you know, they're going to be making baby diapers for a long time.
Right.
Johnson & Johnson, you know, those type of companies that they'll be there. And, they got it together and they got good balance sheets. And so those are the times you want to kind of get into those type of things, or mutual funds who invest in those type of things, you know, and things. So, and that's why this recent pullback that we've seen after the election, and everyone's obviously very worried about the fiscal cliff and all that. Well, it'll get resolved. Whether it gets resolved on the timeline you want, or whether it gets resolved with the rules that you want, is obviously subject to debate. But it will get done. And my contention is, for you listeners, is that there's a reason there's $11 trillion in the money market at 0%. And that is because corporate America basically has it doesn't want to put it to use till they know the rules.
Right.
Once they know the rules, they're going to play. And I think between what's going on with gas, what's going on in housing, what's going on in the automobile industry, we've got two or three major industries. And I think if the rules are minimizing regulations,